is nowhere.
All right, man. Welcome to Crow 777 Radio. This is hour one of episode 634. Jason Lindgren is with me, and we are joined for the first time by Caleb and Kaylee. I don't know how much I want to describe up front. This is a natural birth story, which in my view is the biggest gift you could possibly give a new life coming into this realm by a million miles. It's a big deal, which is why I cover it. If more people did this, we would be well on our way to a better world. Anyhow, welcome, Jason.
And a hot and humid Louisiana. Good morning.
Not so much here. It is humid, though. I'm still waiting for the sun, unfortunately. But here we go. Welcome, Caleb and Kaylee.
Hey.
Hi, how are
y'all? Thanks for having us.
It's good to meet you guys. Let me preface. You've had your first child now with a natural birth.
Yeah, that's correct. He's our first.
Okay. Let's start from the beginning. How did you guys meet?
Yeah, I worked at the local town square at one of the local shops, and Kaylee'd come in and we met the old-fashioned way. Just
saw each other for the first time, and it's kind of one of those things we always hear, not really love at first sight, but you see someone and you're like, whoa.
Completely drawn to each other.
Drawn to each other. And I was 15 and he was 16.
Wow. Did you guys school together or anything like that?
We did not, actually.
Yeah, I was homeschooled and...
And I went to public school.
Yeah.
So at 15 and 16, so Caleb, I'm guessing you're just getting ready to drive.
Yeah, I was driving at that point. Yeah, I got my license right at 16.
And so did you date for some period of time?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we met in 2011 and then dated till 2016 when we got married.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Anything you want to ask before I move forward, Jason?
What prompted the idea to get married?
I mean, honestly, we've always talked about this now. Like, if we had met earlier in life, like out of high school and everything, we probably would have been married within a year.
Yeah, if we had met in the last couple of years, we probably would have been married right away.
How did your parents feel about the whole thing?
They loved it. They liked us for each other, so it worked out good.
Yeah, we had found out shortly after we met that our families had actually already known each other for a very long time. Our grandfathers were really good friends.
Yeah, it was a wild, like, right after we had met, I think it was a month before we had met, My grandpa had just passed away. And she was telling her family about it. And they're like, oh, what was his name? And it turned out her grandpa and my grandpa were best friends for a long time. And they'd been out of touch for years. Wow. So it's like, oh, we know them. Actually, grandpa's been best friends with him for a very long time.
It sounds to me like your families must be cosmically intertwined, if you see what I'm implying.
Oh, yeah. We definitely feel that.
So along the way, you guys bump into us. How long ago did you bump into Crow 777 Radio?
I want to say it was late 22 or early 23. I know y'all had just covered coffee enemas, and that was like the recent episode that had come out. But it was one of the later ones where y'all were doing like a Q&A on it. But I'd come across y'all on like a social media clip, and I just remember listening to you, Crow, and I was like, man, I always did a ton of research on my own on a lot of these topics. I was like, this guy knows what he's talking about. These like line up with the research that I've done. So I think I'd also come across you on a Tinfoil Hat episode, and I was like, I just love the way you speak and how genuine you are. So found the show right away and subscribed. And I was like, this is a wealth of knowledge.
Yep.
I wish I had found you sooner so I could have supported you sooner.
Well, thank you for all of that. I've got to ask, Caleb, what are your favorite episodes? And then Kaylee, what are your favorite episodes?
Yeah, mine by far have to be the law series. I studied a lot of law stuff on my own prior to the show. I have legal dictionaries in my house. But I never like pursued it further because I wanted to do some of these things y'all discussed on the show. I just didn't know. I just wasn't confident in like where I was learning the information. So once I found yours, I was like, man, I want to do the How to Win in Court Without a Lawyer course. So just with a baby, I haven't had confidence that I had enough time to study it. So I wanted to wait until he's a little bit older and then dive into that. But the law series, Fortune, is amazing. I work outside a lot, so I'm watching the sky all the time. Sunrises and the contrails and chemtrails and taking pictures of them. Like, yeah, that's not normal. You see planes not spraying and you see planes spraying, doing tic-tac-toe in the sky. It's like, they're definitely covering the sky, but Yes, the cymatics, because I'm in farming, so it's always interesting thinking about the colors and the frequencies of different flowers, and spagyrics is definitely interesting as well.
Kaylee, so that's law and fortune were the top two for you, I think, and then followed by a few others. What about you, Kaylee? What are your favorites?
Well, whenever Caleb started listening to your show, he would play me a few episodes, and whenever we would go on trips and stuff, and then he introduced me to the fortune episodes, and those were the main ones that really grabbed me, just listening to everything that fortune would say and just how he speaks in general. His voice is just mesmerizing to listen to.
A lot of people say that.
Yeah, it's just, he is amazing to listen to. And then whenever we found out we were pregnant, I just instantly dove into the natural birth episodes and everything birth related.
Well, what you guys just did for your new child, in my estimation, is the biggest gift that can be given, particularly in this era. But I'm glad you guys both really liked the fortune episodes.
Yeah.
The man's an astounding man. And I think we're going to have fortune on before too long and do another fortune episode. But let's cut to it. You guys ended up naming your new child. Can you talk about that for a minute?
Yeah, we were on the fence about making his first name Fortune. Whenever I hear the name Fortune, I can just hear his voice. And it's just inspiring. And like every time I hear his voice, which I think of his voice when I hear his name, it just makes me want to be a better person. He's so inspiring. So, But we end up choosing Emmett for the first name. It's kind of a sounds like is like situation, but Emmett means whole, universal, and truth. And always joke, Kaylee never dated an Emmett and I never dated an Emmett. So it worked out.
We wanted something very, very unique and not heard very often. And we always get told, well, did you name him after Emmett Smith, the football player? And we're like, nope.
No, neither of us are football fans. We didn't even think of that until after we had named him. We're like, oh, wow, he's actually...
I always think of Doc Emmett Brown from Back to the Future when I hear that name.
Yep.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that until Rose had mentioned something.
So we have a poem for you about that. Some names are chosen. Some names arrive like signals sent from the soul to survive. To omit is to give, to grow, to be seen, and fortune's the thread that runs through the dream. So turn up your hearts, tune into the sound. The man behind the name is now around.
They seek me here, they seek me there. The whole world seeks me everywhere. Is he in heaven or some other plane? The elusive Marquis of Saint Germain.
And here he is. Caleb and Kaylee, we thought it only appropriate that you meet Fortune de Saint-Germain.
Oh, wow.
From the Golden Castle at the end of the world where the rainbow begins, I am here for you.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
It's an absolute pleasure to meet you, Fortune.
Well, thank you for the honor, and just a little something for you. For the Hebrew Emet, Aleph Mem Tov, it has the Alpha and the Omega in it. So Aleph is the Alpha. Tof is the Hebrew Omega, and the M in the middle, it's three letters that make one word. The M in the middle is the middle of the Hebrew alphabet. So you have beginning, middle, and end in the name that you gave him.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
You gotta love Fortune.
Oh, yeah.
You gotta love Fortune. So were you able to hear everything leading in, Fortune?
Sure. Thank you for the honor. That was I heard about this on, I think it was Monday or Tuesday. Monday, I think. And it was a great honor. So that touched my heart greatly. Thank you both very much.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Of course.
Honor's all ours. It's a pleasure to meet you. It's amazing.
Is there anything you guys would like to ask Fortune while we have him here?
You caught us off guard.
That was kind of the plan.
Really?
I was going to say, we're over here speechless right now.
Oh man, I've had 1,000 questions and none of them come to mind. I'm speechless.
Well, remember, we're all alchemists, all of us. So we're all alchemists and alchemists in training. So I want you two to remember that. Just a little message: as we were speaking, I did some work on your son, so he will be protected all of his life from all negativity, past, present, and future.
Oh, thank you. That's amazing.
I don't know if you agree with me, Fortune. Fortune's also a doctor, if you guys don't know, but he was trained as a real doctor holistically. He cured me of things that weren't supposed to be curable. But Fortune, do you agree that the highest gift you could possibly give a new life coming into this realm now is a natural birth?
Sure. And just to bring a life into this world at this difficult time. And on top of that, it's a soul that is yours to care for that is given from the divine. So it's, you know, it's on loan from God, as they say. Like Rush Limbaugh used to say, talent on loan from God. This is a soul that is given to you to care for on loan from God.
Did you hear the explanation about the cosmic connection between their families all the way to grandfather?
Sure.
What do you make of that?
Well, we've done this in the episodes before. So many people that love to study esotericism and mysticism are looking for things in very complex ways when the answer is in front of us all along. So we're all brought together to share and care, and we are prepared by prior generations to live in this one. So the people that knew each other were the people in many ways that allowed you and brought you to come together for a future generation and future good to be worked.
I hear the little voice now. How old is Emmett? Emmett Fortune, I should say.
He's 10 months and almost 3 weeks. 10 months, 3 weeks.
Coming up on 11 months.
And do you guys notice anything amazing having given the purity of a natural birth compared to other children you might see?
Oh, yeah.
He amazes us every day.
Yeah, like in the first couple months, we'd constantly just look at each other and be like, how did we get so lucky? This is amazing. A couple of weeks ago, he just started walking. So just over 10 months and he's walking now, but very alert, amazing, jibber jabbers all day long if he doesn't have a pacifier in. But
it definitely helps to do things right from the beginning. And now you're seeing the benefits of that already.
Yes, oh, definitely. We always got compliments on him of how well behaved he was. And just like you said, just alert, looking everywhere, always
happy,
always happy.
Friends say they've never seen him cry, and they're like, that baby never cries. That's the most amazing. And they're like, I still tell my friends about how amazing that baby is, or Emmett is. It's a huge blessing. We wouldn't have changed how we did it at all.
Fortune could probably tell us about a time when that was more normal.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Well, natural births were what was done forever up until very recently.
Yeah.
Very recently, the last 100 years or so is just a blink of the eye. Think of all the times that's the only way it was. The midwife or somebody in your house, a doctor giving birth to your child is a very, very recent invention.
Right.
Fortune, do you recall any of the things that went on back before the Rockefellerization of our medical system about birthing that even is forgotten in the natural birthing now, if you know where I'm going?
That is very, very interesting. There are many things. There is the placenta, the umbilical cord, but you're an expert on that one, young crow. Why don't you tell them about not cutting the umbilical cord?
Okay. And that's one of the things I was thinking about when I asked you the question, because I thought you might be able to remember what some of the people did. But one of the things that we've covered quite a bit in the natural childbirth is the current medical system tries to cut that umbilical cord as quickly as they can. We've interviewed a number of people who knew better and waited for the placenta and the umbilicus to quit moving, pumping. And in doing that, all those good things from the mother are being delivered to the newborn. And so in most hospital situations, the people we've interviewed, it's like the first thing that gets done. But what's more is they then take, I guess, what's rudely called the afterbirth, basically the placenta, the umbilicus, and sometimes a caul, the veil that might be over the baby's face, and they create a new identity with that, and they do other things. They take it away. Many of the natural births that we've covered lately, they claim those possessions, which relates to the whole lost at sea thing, which I won't get into here. But Fortune, do you know, I mean, maybe even culturally, do you recall what was done with the umbilicus and the placenta. I think there's actually a relation, believe it or not, to the birthday cake there.
Well, actually, it's funny you say that. In German, it's called the Mutterkuchen, the mother cake, or the afterbirth in many, they use both words. But many animals would eat the placenta after they had the child. And that placenta in human form has been used since the 30s by the Filatov Institute, where they used to take a piece of the placenta. They would take an incision below your navel, and they would put a large chunk of placenta under there, and it would take about a year for the body to absorb, and that was an anti-aging process. But now they use the placenta in processed form, which is just as good, and you can take placenta injections, which are absolutely fantastic for the human body, and they come from Switzerland. You can order them from the Filatov Institute itself. Dr. Filatov was the one who... the Russian Dr. Filatov in Odessa, he was the one who started that process. So anything to do with nature and sticking to basics is the best we can do. And remember, everything is retrievable. So let these people and hospitals and government and doctors who don't want to know make up their own rules, because they are the ones who are making up fantasy and myth. You, as a human soul, come with all of the rights and guarantees of the universe. So no one is above or below you. They can make up whatever rules they want in the Vatican about who belongs to who owns who, your birth certificate, whether you're chattel or not. These are just silly things that are ritual magic, and they only work if you believe them.
Hear, hear.
Amazing.
So, Jason, I also recall the Bach saga. Now, do you recall? You tend to remember better than I do, but in the Bach saga, I believe there was a relationship to taking those items at the birth and putting them under, I think it was specifically an ash tree. Do you recall?
Yes, I'm trying to remember if it was an ash or an oak.
Episode 191, and it was also, there was something with the scrotal sac of a bull. I think that might have been for the death and the ashes, which is also deposited under the family. Pretty sure it was an ash tree.
Fortune, is there an alchemical significance to it being under an ash tree?
Well, there's an alchemical significance to everything. So I would have to go up and see exactly what, I'd have to take a look in my old books and see what the ash tree exactly was used for and what its properties were. So sometimes people throw curveballs. We had one that was very funny, since we all like esoteric things. They had asked me once for somebody who is an alchemist that you both know and like. Dr. Balderson wanted to know what the metal for the North Star Polaris was. And I said, I'll come up with it. No one can find it anywhere. So I said, I'll tell you this one. It's either silver or white or a combination of both. So I went to one of my gurus who's still alive and taught me, and I asked her, and without batting an eyelash, she said titanium. So everything has an alchemical property, because we are all reflections of the light and sound. Those people who choose to do bad rather than good, they have forgotten that they are a part of the greater whole. So they are basically discordant energy that needs to be brought back into harmony. Any of these myths or falsehoods that they make up about themselves and their power are just false in itself. And they get their power from other people believing in them. But your child has a very strong root chakra. And that means he is going to be very, very attached to Earth and this world in a good way. So if you look at many of the gurus in the East, whether they're Buddhist or Hindu, you look at their heart chakra and above, and that's where they become expansive, and they pay less attention to the chakras below the heart. But for a person or any of us to love Earth and prosper on Earth, the root chakra, which is red, that's your female connection to God through the Earth, and your crown is your male connection to God through the sky. And they meet in your heart. So your child is going to have a very, very strong connection to Earth and this world and his future mission here.
The color of the crown chakra, that's the color that was associated with the original Saint Germain, right?
Purple, one of the masters of the violet ray.
As you can tell by all the episode images, it's not exact. I'll be very upfront. I came as close as I could with lack of knowledge, but all the episode images reflect the color of that chakra as it relates to the original, well, and fortune as it relates to the Germain line, Saint Germain line.
Well, his crown chakra is also burning, so it's on fire. He's going to also be very, very spiritual. He may throw you both for loops at times as he's growing up with things out of the blue that you never expected.
All right, guys. Well, we do have an episode to get through to cover the natural birth. I want to thank you so much for taking time, Fortune, and also for blessing that child. Caleb and Kaylee, is there anything else you'd like to put to Fortune before we carry on?
Oh, that's so amazing. And thank you so much for doing that.
Well, we'll be in touch. We'll be in touch directly soon, all three of us. And now, with your permission, he can be a member of, you can all be a member of my family.
Oh,
that's an honor.
Well, it's an honor for me. You don't know how it touched me when I heard that at the beginning of the week.
True story.
You know, that was really, really, very beautiful. Something totally unexpected out of left field. But I will leave you two to your, all of you, to your great episode. And I look forward to hearing all of it. And we will be speaking soon.
All right.
Thank you so, so much, Fortune. All right. Well, there it was. You met the elusive Marquis Fortune de Saint Germain.
Yeah, oh that's amazing. We're still in shock.
I think we're still in shock over here.
He is amazing in ways that he never ceases to blow my mind. He requested that I will put you guys in touch with him, and he really doesn't do that. He's off grid. So yeah, when you guys named your child, you made a connection.
Wow. Goodness. That's amazing. Well, thank you for that.
Yes, thank you so much for that.
All right, Jason, how do we get back on track into the main thrust of this episode?
Well, I know you have a big interest in tulips, so why don't we hear about the tulip farming?
Yeah, I started working on this tulip farm in Texas 2018, around there, and it was bloom season. I started working with them, and I was a seasonal worker, but by the end of the season, he was like, I have work for you all year. You can work all year. And I'm like, that's amazing. I'd love that. And I've worked ever since. Now I plant, raise, do everything on the farm. I'm the only year-round employee. And the tulip farm, it's a Dutch family that moved here to Texas to start this farm. They're a five-generation tulip farming family. And they wanted to get to somewhere in the world that was freer than the Netherlands. And the freest place they could think of was Texas. So they had to fly over here. It was 5+ times just testing soil on different farms to find one that was good for growing tulips. It's a blast. It's the best job I've ever had. I don't want to do anything else.
It sounds amazing. I've got to ask a few questions. What is the bloom season? I mean, you have access to generational information in this. I mean, if you wanted to get interested in alchemy, you are standing on the right corner. But to get to the point, what is the actual bloom season for tulips, and does it vary?
It varies a little bit. It's a short season in Texas because it gets hot quickly. It's different from a lot of different bloom seasons because of our climate. So it's late February to early April. Sometimes we don't make it into April before it gets too warm and they bloom out. But we grow the tulips and we just open to the public and let people come in and pick and purchase their own flowers. So during the bloom season, Kaylee will come in and wrap bouquets for people. But it's amazing. It's a very unique, fun job. I think of alchemy all the time while I'm working there. And I'm listening to the show very often too. So
especially when the bees start coming in.
Yeah, I love the bees. The bees are amazing. We've had multiple swarms come through and they'll ball up on a tree or somewhere near the flowers and explore the flowers. And in a day or two, they're gone. But we have had some locals come bee box them and make new homes for them.
Double connection to a higher realm.
Yeah.
In the same way the bees are connected to higher realms, the scent of a flower is as well. which makes perfect sense. And the bees can sense and probably even see much more of the electromagnetic spectrum than we can. We're nearly blind. We see 0.003% of the electromagnetic spectrum. But I had asked you this earlier, actually before I asked you that, does the family, the generational family that's teaching you the farming techniques, do they have any remembrance that they've told you about the Dutch market collapse when they totally based everything on the value of tulip bulbs?
I don't think I remember that specifically, but there's definitely a lot of Dutch history I've learned, specifically like corruption to the king and queen there, which I didn't know they had a king and queen. But yeah, there's a lot of history I've learned from them, but I don't remember specifically that one.
You should ask. Jason and I should do an episode. It's a complete window back in time. If I had to guess, maybe the 1600s, I'm not sure, I've forgotten, but how a market can be based on just about anything. And it got to the point where certain tulip bulbs were worth millions, literally, and then the bubble burst. But to ask you one more flower question before we shift back over, you and I mentioned to each other about the black tulip, which showed up in Rhode Island, I don't know, maybe 5 years ago, I started seeing them. See, here are the seasons. One thing I like about Rhode Island, the first thing that comes is the dewdrops and the crocus, then the daffodils. And not long after the daffodils, the tulips come, and you know you're right in the season. But those black tulips, the first time I saw them, I was like, wait a minute, how can a flower be black? And then as I saw them over time, I realized it's a very deep purple. But do you guys farm the black tulips?
Yeah, we've had one or two varieties that are nearly black, extremely dark. They're beautiful.
They're definitely one of my top favorite. Just the color uniqueness is just phenomenal.
We don't always get them because it just depends on like the grow season, how they breed them in the Netherlands. But for multiple years, we've had them. I think this last previous season, we ordered them, but they weren't able to fulfill that order. If we get some this year, I'm going to definitely send some to you.
Oh, wow. Thank you. Do you have a favorite? What if we set I call them deep purple. If we set the deep purple tulips aside, do you have a favorite?
Oh, man, we plant over 100 varieties. I never knew there was so many varieties of tulips, but I have a few favorites. And it almost changes every year, too. But mm-hmm. One of my absolute favorites is Caribbean parrot. And those are beautiful.
Orange?
They're like a yellow with like a pink fringe edge to the petals. The petals orangish, they're a yellow orangish,
yeah,
fringe on the edge.
They're one of the tulips where if you look at it, you wouldn't think it's a tulip.
Yeah,
it has a ruffled lip, like, you know what I mean? Yeah,
parrot's a type of variety, and it's the Caribbean parrot. But gold dust is gorgeous. They're a little spiky fringe on the end, and it's yellow gold looking with a red center. They're beautiful.
I think my favorite's probably the ice cream tulip.
Yeah. Have you ever seen an ice cream tulip?
I haven't.
It looks like an ice cream scoop blooming out of the center of the flower.
I'm going to have to look it up as you're speaking.
Yeah.
It is probably one of the more unique ones. And it's one of the ones that's tricky.
Yeah. They're a sensitive one and they're very difficult to grow, but.
Oh, wow. It almost reminds me of a chrysanthemum blossom that hasn't opened.
Yeah.
Oh, but wait a minute. It's got, I didn't catch it at first. It's got like a normal tulip around that center that looks like ice cream. That's amazing.
Ice cream scoop blooms right out of the center of the flower. It's amazing.
Well, unfortunately, I lived more than 3/4 of my life before I came to comprehend what something as simple as a tulip could teach me, or any flower for that matter. So I'm a little bit envious of what you're doing. It's such an incredible opportunity.
Yeah, it's amazing. I love it.
All right. Anything, Jason? I'm going to start getting into the birth information for others who may want to learn and go in that direction.
Before we leave the discussion on tulips, is this going to be your chosen career path? Is this the direction you want to go?
Oh, yeah. I have no plans changing career. This is what I want to do for the rest of my life.
Well, it sounds like you might be in the right place, because if that's fifth generation and they picked you and put you on full time. That's promising. But the wealth of knowledge you must have access to from five generations is staggering.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, the moment they moved here, they tracked and recorded every inch of rain they've had since they've been here, which is a little over 10 years. So, you know, I never thought of tracking something as simple as rain, but they could tell you in the last 10 years, every inch of rain that we've received.
Our tulips, do they require a lot of water?
They require good drainage. I wouldn't say a lot of water, but we're always digging in the beds and checking the moisture in the soil, and we'll water them if they need it, but which they typically do need some rain or water. But
I think the only tricky part is whenever they're starting to bloom out of the ground and then we hear of a freeze coming.
Oh yeah, that gets tricky. But which we have techniques to preserve them for that too.
Well, you must have a connection to Michigan. Holland, Michigan is a massive tulip concern. Is there a connection there?
There absolutely is, actually. I believe my boss is cousins with that guy. So he knows a lot of the farms that are in the States, and he's related to most of them too, which is amazing. Oh yeah, I'm cousins with that guy. Anytime you bring up something tulip related, yeah, that's my cousin. He's related to a lot of the industry, which is really fascinating.
Well, anyone listening has to go to a search engine, look up what's called the black tulip. It's purple. And you've got to look up the ice cream like I did, because that was a mind boggler. It's incredible flower. But look up pictures of Holland, Michigan during the tulip festival. I think they used to actually announce how many millions of tulips are planted there.
Yeah, that's amazing.
All right. Well, let's, you good, Jason?
Yeah, let's move forward.
Yeah, let's shift in. Why don't you go ahead? Let's lead into to propagating information about the most precious gift you could give a new life in this era.
So let's talk about your pregnancy, and then we'll get into the birth story itself. Go ahead and lead us in.
So let me help you out. Did you plan your pregnancy?
We did not plan it, but we know for sure when we got pregnant. You could say the building materials arrived at the job site.
Now, had you already come across the information that we put on Crow 777 Radio at the time that you discovered the pregnancy?
Yeah, once I found the show, I listened to a lot of the recent episodes, but started from the beginning. So I plowed through the show. I think I'm up in the 500s now, but a lot of the 500s I've already heard because they were coming out. So I'd listen to the current one, and then I'd go back and listen to one or two of the ones from the beginning as I was going through them. So I'd come across some of the birth ones, and we had already talked about and decided if we'd gotten pregnant, we really wanted to do a natural birth. But once we found out we were pregnant, went through a search and just started going through all the pregnancy ones again.
Mm-hmm. Was there trepidation? Like a lot of folks are so used to, you go to the hospital and everything is taken care of. There's sometimes a little bit of trepidation, because what you're really saying is I'm an adult in this world. Well, let's be frank. The mother is saying, I'm going to take on 90-some% of this. Was there trepidation there, or did you guys just know you were going to do it?
I mean, not really, honestly. I went into whenever we found out we were pregnant, and even before then, I knew that I wanted to do a natural birth. And so then whenever we found out we were pregnant and started really listening to all of the episodes, it just like confirmed my wanting to have a natural birth even more. And I never once had any fear really throughout the pregnancy. I stayed really positive throughout it.
Yeah, we wanted to hammer down our birth plan. We used that affidavit for our birth plan, and we just wanted to ensure that we weren't going to be fought on it, which we chose a birth center and a midwife, and that worked really well. They're really respectful of it. And they're also passionate about birth, so they didn't really fight us on going the natural route there.
If you don't mind me asking, what part of the country are you in? I mean, you don't have to be specific.
I don't mind. We're in Texas.
Do you feel like there were certain parts, like if you went back and listened to the natural birth episodes we put out, were there parts of those episodes that were super helpful?
Yeah, absolutely. Just an idea of the type of questions they would or how they would try to trick you and push vaccines and things like that. And yeah, absolutely.
It definitely helped us understand. Here's the different pattern you were talking about.
10 months and almost ready to talk, I think.
Oh, yeah. It definitely helped us confirm that our opinion did matter and that there are people out there that can respect your decisions and encourage you, you know?
Okay, so let's pick up on the nuts and bolts. You guys opted to go with a midwife. What would you put forward for others who are in this situation and wanting to go natural? Was it difficult to get a midwife? Were there things that you think are critical to communicate about that process?
I think, yeah, talking about your birth plan and how you want to do it to choose the right midwife is really important.
Mm-hmm.
Did the affidavit go to the midwife or somewhere else?
We had him at a birth center and they had midwives there, and we gave it to the midwife and she didn't even really bat an eye. I don't even think she looked over it right away, but yeah, she didn't really have much of a reaction to it, but we were just glad that we at least got it to her.
Now, did you have a doula and a midwife?
So we did not have a doula. We just had a midwife. I guess you can say Caleb was my doula.
Yeah.
So you actually gave birth in the birthing center with a midwife?
Yes.
Yes.
And a birth assistant. So kind of like a doula.
What does the birth assistant do?
The same as a doula would. Really.
Same as a doula, really. She was there, you know, just to check on us, check on the baby, and
check heart rates
and
blood pressure.
Yeah.
So can you walk us through the experience on the day the birth happened, when you're actually down to it and the baby's on the way? Can you just walk us through a little bit of that?
Yeah, absolutely.
I had woken up around, so he was due on July 21st, and he decided that he wasn't done cooking. So at 5:30 a.m. on July 28th, I started having contractions, and I woke Caleb up, and we contacted the midwife around 6 a.m. and let him know that I was starting to have contractions. And so they're like, okay, well, get to walk in. And
well, first they're like, you don't need to go back to bed and get some rest.
Yeah. Which we didn't do because we were so excited.
Yeah, we were so excited. So we didn't take their advice on getting rest until the contractions had picked up, which we really regret because we ended up turned into an exhausting night. But
yes.
Was the birth on the 28th? That's the day you headed in. Did the birth actually occur on that calendar date?
So I started going into labor on the 28th, and he was born at 5:19 a.m. on the 29th. So I was close to 24 hours in labor.
Was it very difficult labor?
I wouldn't say it started out difficult. I would say things definitely started moving and picking up probably around 9:30. And that's whenever we called the midwife and told him that my contractions were starting to get stronger and the timing was getting close. So we went up to the birth center and they checked my blood pressure and heart rate and everything like that. And I was still only 4 centimeters dilated. So they sent us back home and they're like, try as hard as you can to get any kind of rest. And then I think it was about, we got back to the house probably around 10, and then about 11:30, my contractions absolutely picked up anywhere from 5 to 3 minutes apart. And so Caleb had called the midwife and told him that my contractions had definitely ramped up. And I just remember her asking me if she was ready to come up here. And I just said, yes.
And after that phone call, her water broke like right then. So I called him back. Her water broke. We're definitely
coming.
Are you still at home when the water breaks?
Yes. Yeah. So I was at home when my water broke, and then we headed back up there and got settled in and continued to labor there.
So that is a long labor. I asked if it was difficult, but clearly just the amount of time was going to be exhausting. So was the midwife with you the whole time?
She was there, but she would leave us. She would let us labor in the room. They'd check in every 10, 15 minutes, see how we were doing. So they weren't like hovering, which was nice. It was checking on us, seeing how she was progressing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I could just open the door and get a hold of them in a moment if I needed to, but she had progressed enough to begin pushing. So I have to say at this point too, around midnight, the contractions had picked up to the point where Kaylee's becoming like delusional. So
I was by that point, everything is a blur to me. I was in another dimension by this point.
Exhaustion, right?
Yes.
So I'm going to try to fill in this part of the pregnancy as much as possible because I was a little bit more coherent at that time.
So let me jump in here for a minute. Jason, how close are we?
We should probably wrap this up and then do that in the second hour.
Yeah, so I want to get a smooth play-by-play so people know what to expect. So when we come back in hour two, we're going to jump right in on the babies on the way and what you experienced and all that, hopefully benefiting others who have an interest in giving this most precious of gifts. Are you guys going to be interested in being contacted by anybody if they have questions?
Yeah, I don't mind.
Yeah, of course.
I think what we're going to do is we're going to push that into hour two. I mean, what do you think, Jason?
That depends upon how much you want to be contacted. If we have your contact info put out in hour one, it's going to go out to a lot more people. So there's the potential for you to receive a lot more contact.
Yeah, because we have a baby and we both work, I'd say hour two.
Okay. So what we're going to do is I'm going to wrap up. And when we come back, we're going to pick right up and start to get the description of what happened as the baby arrived. Hour one is free to everybody at crow777radio.com. That is crow777radio.com. Members know to log in for the full episode, and members get access to all the forums and comment sections. They can create top-level topics, and they can stream the two-hour film called Shoot the Moon whenever they feel like it. Shoot the Moon covers all my older telescope work. Much of it is focused on the moon, has all the lunar waves, and then some, UFOs, shooting orbs, all kinds of stuff to include the initial filming in 2015 of the so-called Second Sun. Also, on the website are still images that have been requested from my current solar telescope. And lastly, members get exclusive access to my current solar work, which I hope will culminate this season with me obtaining a capture on the other body that I call the Second Sun. With that, we're going to take a short break. I hope to see you logged in as a member for hour two, and I'd like to wish you all a happy, healthy, and higher-minded new era. There it is, man. Cheers. We'll be right back.
is the enemy of knowing.